All right. Hey, everybody, and happy Sunday evening. I think everybody knows, you know, we've been in the holidays, and one thing that's happened here is, you know, Jasmine's been home from college. So, you know, we've done some things as a family. And one of the things we did was we went and we saw the movie Frozen. And I was really surprised how a couple of the songs really fit with the teaching from Bernadette Roberts, What is the Self? I think some of you may remember that one of the teachings that we've looked at, of course, Bernadette was very, very devoted to God. Remember, she became a nun in seclusion for a time, and, you know, praying to God and being with God was everything to her. And then when she awoke to consciousness, this God that she had a relationship with, well, since the self collapsed, remember, the God collapsed too, right? Before there was a self in relationship with a God, and when the self collapsed, then the God collapsed. Particular song, this is a song from Frozen. So I this video will turn out okay because family is home, which means we get a lot of people tugging on the internet at the same time. I'm going to turn off my video to hopefully make it better, share my screen, and we'll watch this song from Frozen.
I've seen dark before, but not like this. This is cold. This is empty. This is numb. The life I knew is over. The lights are out. Hello, darkness. I'm ready to succumb. I follow you around. I always have. But you've gone to a place I cannot find. This grief has a gravity, it pulls me down. But a tiny voice whispers in my mind. You are lost, hope is gone. But you must go on and do the next right thing. Can there be a day beyond this night? I don't know anymore what is true. I can't find my direction, I'm all alone. The only star that guided me was you. Right thing. Take a step. Step again. It is all that I can to do the next right thing. I won't look too far ahead. It's too much for me to take. But break it down to this next breath, this next step, this next choice is one that I can make. So I'll walk through this night, stumbling blindly toward the light, and do with the dawn what comes then. Then I'll make the choice to hear that voice and do the next one.
Yeah, I love that song. You know, we've heard Bernadette talk about how, you know, she suffered some pain at the loss of self because of the loss of God, right? And that song, but it also then just beautiful take that next step. I'm just going to do that next right thing. And that's really how we want to live. You know, we want to live in the moment, following intuition all the time, just doing, quote, the next right thing. So I love the song. I wanted to share it with you all. Last week when we were reading from What is the Self, we were reading from some sections where I had put question marks in the margin. And last week I shared with you from those, but after I shared with you from those paragraphs, the contemplation of those paragraphs continued. And of course, what Bernadette was talking about was after her deeply devoted period as a nun, she woke up to consciousness, woke up beyond the ego. The ego fell away, and she woke up to consciousness. And then she felt guided to go into the world, which she calls the marketplace, and walk away from her deep devotion, or at least her deep devotional practices that she had before. And one thing that occurred to me after I contemplated that afterwards is, you know, when we awaken to consciousness, if we've truly awakened to consciousness, if the ego has truly fallen away, we would no longer feel like we had a separate will. Which means, using the language of the Tao teaching that I do on Wednesday, that the Tao would move through us and live whatever life the Tao wanted lived through us, because we would be empty spaciousness. We wouldn't have anything in us that would say, no, I want to do, you know, X. I want to do this instead. And I think maybe the only thing that I would caution us on is thinking that that's going to look a certain way. You know, so for example, thinking that after consciousness, I will go into the world in a certain way. Or I awaken to consciousness, I'll spend all of my time in meditation. You know, or any other firm scenario, because you have these ideas of what to do once I awaken to consciousness, we're actually holding that. Consciousness that's moved perfectly by the Tao in whatever direction that it wants. In fact, let me grab my Bible. I'm going to read from John chapter 3 in the Bible. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night. And, you know, I remember hearing the teaching, I think this is probably true, that the reason he came to Jesus at night is he didn't want his peers to see him coming to Jesus, right? So he was sneaking out to talk to Jesus. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Now, so I've heard people kind of debate when Jesus's awakening occurred. Of course, no one really knows for sure. but I've heard some people say that his awakening occurred after the 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. And others have the opinion that his awakening occurred either in Gethsemane or on the cross in that last 24 hours. I wouldn't be surprised if in that debate, if they're both right. And if the awakening that occurred after the 40 days and 40 nights in the desert was the awakening to consciousness. And then the awakening that occurred in the last 24 hours of his life would be the awakening to the absolute, the second awakening. Which would mean that Jesus would have this first awakening that Bernadette talks about. And then he had a 3-year ministry. That was the Tao moving through him. And any miracles that might have been performed would have been the Tao moving through him, right? And any teachings would have been the Tao moving through him. But what's interesting is if that's true, if this theory I'm putting forth is true, then at the point when Jesus is sitting here talking to Nicodemus, he has had the first awakening, but he's not yet had the second awakening. And so what he says to Nicodemus is, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. So that would make born again synonymous with awakening to consciousness. You know, no one can see the kingdom of God, or no one can see the unity of consciousness unless he's born again, unless he awakens to consciousness. I'm going to keep reading. Nicodemus is speaking next. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Now, water, I suspect, refer to the baptism. You know, Christians, modern-day Christians, tend to get baptized once. But when we were in Israel on tour, they told us that the Jewish people of Jesus' times were baptized sometimes multiple times a day. The baptism was seen as a purification process. You know, really pious people might be baptized before every meal, for example, just like we kind of wash our hands before every meal. But most certainly, every Jewish man, at least, I don't know about the women, but every Jewish man and possibly every Jewish woman was baptized before going into the temple, right? And we went and visited the Jewish temple, and we went and visited the baptismal areas outside. They're all just ruins now, but we went and visited them. So after seeing that, when I read born of water, what I hear is a different kind of purification. Not that purification where you are baptized and then you can go into the temple, or you're baptized and then you can pray, but that there's this internal purification, which is drastically different. I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. And the Spirit would be the awakening to consciousness, seeing everything as consciousness. Only Jesus would have called that Spirit, right? Awakening to Spirit, seeing everything and everyone as. So he says, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit, right? So this is something that comes about through consciousness, right? Consciousness awakens us to consciousness. He says, you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. And then listen to this part. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So what I hear in that is, after awakening to consciousness, again, you don't have that will of your own that you had before. And now the Tao just moves through you. You know, Jesus isn't making decisions about where he's going to go next and who he's going to teach and how he's going to teach, or he isn't making any decisions about the miracles that come through him. He is just being that emptiness, that spaciousness that he awoke to. And now that is moving him. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You can even hear that he has no choice, right? The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. You know, cannot tell where they come from or where they're going. They're just being moved about by Spirit. I remember when I, first started the spiritual path, the only teacher / book that had influenced me deeply when I started the spiritual path was Peace Pilgrim. I had dabbled in a few other things, but the only thing that had really, really touched me was Peace Pilgrim when I began. And one of the things that I got out of Peace Pilgrim was that she appeared to spend this long time in what she called a spiritual growing up period, which was really the struggle with the ego, the purification period, learning to let go of the ego. And she did a great job of describing what that experience was like. And she says by the time she finished this spiritual growing up period or the struggle with the ego, so that she transcended the ego completely and was beyond the struggle completely, she says her hair had already turned gray. So we don't know for sure how old she was, but, you know, let's guess 60-ish, right? So she spent her entire life going through the purification period, and then she awoke, I presume. And hear the words, I presume, to consciousness. I believe that was probably the awakening that she had. And then after she awoke to consciousness, she did exactly what Bernadette Roberts is talking about. In fact, the very night that Peace Pilgrim awoke, or the next morning, might have been the next morning, but it was right there in that same 24-hour period, that's when she saw the map in her head. She saw a vision of a map in her head, and she received guidance to let go of all worldly possessions, which by that time she didn't have many, and to create her Peace Pilgrim smock. And just to walk, to do nothing but walk for peace until everyone realized inner peace, right? That was her pilgrimage. But that guidance did not come until she awoke to consciousness. And then she spent the rest of her life in that pilgrimage service. So in my ignorance, I assumed when I consciously began the spiritual path, I assumed that I would go through a very long spiritual maturing period like she did before being invited to any kind of service. I thought that I would spend, you know, maybe 20 years or so in the struggle with the ego, learning to let go of false beliefs, et cetera, et cetera. And I would do all of that as what now I'm going to call a private citizen. I consciously started the spiritual path in April of 2004. And it was November of 2004 that I received my calling, completely unexpected. That calling was, again, when I had the vision about going into the cavern, right? And there were people down there with me who wanted to find their way out. And I had those candles and I passed them out. It was also the day I received the guidance to write with Holy Spirit and teach what I write. At that time, I didn't even know about Pal Talk. Within 24 hours, I discovered Pal Talk. And within a handful of months, I was invited to start teaching. And, you know, everything's kind of history since then, right? As you guys know, the guidance continued, leaving the job and moving, the writing of NTI, the purification period with Laurent, the writing of Inner Ramana, the moving to Pueblo, the year of increased silence, the starting of Awakening Together, the starting of the retreat house, and now really the stepping back from the president minister position. You know, it's all just kind of unfolding. But the reason I'm telling this story now is because I did not expect any kind of service, and I never would have imagined any of this service that I've done. But I didn't expect any kind of service until after I awoke to consciousness, although I couldn't have said those words at the time. You know, but I knew that Peace Pilgrim had a spiritual awakening, and then her call to service came. And Bernadette Roberts is talking about awakening, and then her call to service came. And Jesus is talking about a spiritual awakening, and then his call to service came. And maybe that's the most common scenario, but it didn't happen for me that way. And so I think it's a mistake for us to think that there's only one way that this unfolds. I think that if we want to create a rule, the only rule that we can really fully trust is for us to learn the difference between our ego voice and spiritual intuition, and learn to ignore the ego voice and learn to follow spiritual intuition into whatever it guides us into. Whether it guides us to remain, quote, private citizens, whether it guides us into some kind of service, whether it guides us to become the type of person that meditates for 12 hours a day, or maybe some other scenario that I didn't just now suggest. I suggested, I think, the three primary scenarios: the private citizen, engaged in service, and meditation. Another thing I want to say, I may not even get to Bernadette today. This is all my contemplation of last week's teaching being shared. So it's kind of a continuation of last week. NTI, and some of you are in Gentle Healing Year One right now, and you're through this particular part of NTI, or really these particular teachings, you're taking them through the course. I'm referring to NTI. In NTI, it talks about four phases of the spiritual path. The first stage is what it calls the search. And I think probably everyone who is heavily engaged in awakening together has already completed that stage. I think that you have found the search. You've ended the search. You've found the path to truth, right? That's why you're here. You're no longer looking around. Where is it? Where is it? You know, you found the path. You know where the trail is. The second phase of the spiritual path is what it calls the purification, which is what Peace Pilgrim went through, right? Where she talked about her struggle with the ego. That was the purification process. The third stage of the spiritual path is what NTI calls merging. That's where what's really happened, thanks to the purification process, is that you've become clear that the ego is the ego. You know, prior to purification, you thought the ego was you. You know, so when the ego said, "I don't like her," well, then you thought you didn't like her, right? You just believed it. You thought it was you. But after purification, you see that as just a voice. It's not you. And therefore, just because the voice says, "I don't like her," doesn't mean that you have any of those feelings or any of those thoughts, right? You're able to walk up to her and smile and greet her like any other friend. It doesn't matter what the voice is saying, because you've learned through purification to disregard that voice. And so because you've gone through the purification phase and you really clearly know the difference between the ego and spiritual intuition, you can now discern clearly, and you can choose to follow that spiritual intuition. But when you first start following that spiritual intuition, there's still this sense of an I following Jesus, Holy Spirit, intuition, whatever you want to call it. There's an I following X, whatever X is to you. And what happens through that process of following this inner guidance, which you can now do clearly because you're not confused by the ego anymore, is that you begin to merge with it. So that you get to the point where there's no longer an I following a Holy Spirit or a spiritual intuition or a Jesus. There's just this clarity of now, right? There's just this clarity of now, what's to be done now, what's to be said now, but there's no me to surrender to something else anymore. And at this point in NTI, NTI says at this point, when this will has merged to this point, the awakening to consciousness occurs, because really there's nothing to keep you from it anymore, right? There's no separate will. There's nothing to keep you from it anymore. And so it's the natural next step that you awaken to consciousness. And then NTI doesn't have a fifth phase, because it, because awakening to the absolute is beyond all four earthly phases. It refers to those as the four earthly phases of the spiritual path. And so when you finally awaken to the absolute, that is not counted as a fifth phase. That's just beyond. But it does say that when you are in this fourth phase, which is when you've awakened to consciousness, it talks about how glorious the world appears to you. It talks about how you see with eyes from heaven. But it also talks about how that phase also has to end, because that's not yet reality. Now, the reason I'm running through all of this is because NTI puts it down as number one, the search. Number two, purification. Number three, merging. Number four, awakening to consciousness. And then beyond consciousness, which isn't numbered. And I just want to say, it may not always happen in that order either. That's the way NTI lays it out. That may be what's happening with me. I mean, NTI is my book. And that may be common for a lot of people. But it may not be the only way. You know, what was his name? I can't think of his name, but there's one man whose book I have over here. His first name is David. But he wasn't even on the spiritual path, and he awoke to consciousness. That's four. But then you know what he did? He went back and did one, two, and three. After he awoke to consciousness, he was, what happened to me? That kicked off his search, right? Until he found the teachings that gave him the language and the ability to understand what had happened to him. Even Byron Katie, if you read Byron Katie carefully or listen to her carefully, she had an awakening to consciousness. And then the work was downloaded, and she began practicing the work. She awoke to consciousness, then went through purification. Right? Probably the only stage that is certain to be in a certain order is the one that's not a stage at all, the awakening to the absolute. Right, you're not going to awaken to the absolute and then go through purification or then go through a search. Right, those other stages, those four earthly stages, are going to occur first. But to think that they have to occur in a particular order might be a stumbling block. So it's probably best just to erase the ideas of how these things occur, but understand each of these things. Understand the purpose of the search is to find the right path for you, right? That gives you your language, you your intellectual understanding that you need, right? The purpose of the purification is to become clear on the difference between the ego and spiritual intuition, to let go of all of those false beliefs, to become clear. The purpose of merging is to let go of the idea that you are a self with a separate will, to be that emptiness that the Tao can move. And of course, consciousness, the purpose of consciousness is to see everything as one and to abide in that oneness. And with that, I'm out of time. So I am going to release the mic. Thanks for hanging out with me again. Bye.